Hi, I'm LJ Tucker. We're here recording today's 7,000 Volts, Living an Electrified Life. Today's topic is being incarcerated. I believe it was my first contact with an indirect 7,000 Volts. And what I mean by that, it is non-electricity, but indirect electricity because of the events that took care in life. And after experiencing a full 7,000 volts of electricity in life, now that I'm older, I realize what happened 25 years prior was almost the same thing. It had a shocking impact on my life. It had a life-changing impact on my life. And it's a big part of my story in my life. And I'll jump right into it. The year was 1995. I was still in high school, getting ready to graduate the year afterwards. And I just started living a life that I wasn't raised to live. I started hanging out with people I shouldn't have been hanging out with. And one of the main characters I mentioned earlier in the prior episode was my own cousin, Tiger Joe, a.k.a. Joe Farrell. Well, Joe Farrell, a.k.a. Tiger Joe. We were really close. We were good friends. And I worked at McDonald's at the time. I always worked. And from working in the fields in the summer times up in Ocala, Marion County, picking peanuts, cutting okra, picking peas, and, you know, getting ready to go into my senior year in high school, you know, the flash of the cash is what I called it. Joe used to always come around and say, "Oh man, get that job at McDonald's. You ain't making no money like this. Showing me wads of cash," because he was living a different type of life at that time. And of course, money can have influence on you when you don't have when you're young. You're growing up in the struggle, and you're just not wise as a young person. You know, my father wasn't involved in my life, you know, and I got sucked in. And he even warned me, he said, "Nah, cuz, you don't want this kind of life. This ain't for you. You don't want this kind of life." And I insisted, "Man, let me just hang, let me roll and see what it's all about." And that led to a life of, you know, dealing and selling drugs and just riding that emotional roller coaster of a natural high, just like, "Oh man, we live in this fast lane, we live in this, you know, a different life, and you know, with guns and drugs and going to script clubs, just living a life just in a fast lane that was going really fast, that was getting ready to, you know, that roller coaster, that it was getting ready to come off the track, and I didn't even realize it before. Man, being attracted by the wrong thing and money that I really didn't need, didn't have any significant bills besides car payment and insurance. And before I jumped into that life, everything was really good. I made enough money to take care of my responsibilities. Even the speeding tickets that I got here and there, yeah, it was a little strange, but it was never to the point where I lacked for anything. So thinking back now that I'm wiser, older, and dealing with that experience, it's like I always ask the question, why? What did I really need? And it's just I guess fitting in a part of life with people that I didn't need to fit in with. And so I make no excuses. I made some bad decisions. Nobody twisted my arm. They held no gun to my head and said, "Oh, you for the hang with us and you for the roll and do this." I wasn't in a game. I wasn't forced to do it. I got caught up hanging with the wrong crowd, and I wanted to be a part of their life. So I did what they did. That's how simple it is. It's the birds of a feather flock together. And I was flocking with birds that I shouldn't have been flocking with, because you're going to do the things that those birds do. There's no two ways about that. And, you know, hindsight is 2020, but I'm grateful for that experience because, again, it made me into who I am today, and I'm able to properly educate my children, my sons, my three boys, and my two girls about decision-making being a part of their lives so they don't make those type of decisions, and not just my kids. I want to be able to influence other people's kids throughout this country and throughout the world, if that's possible, from making those type of mistakes, and how easy you can be on the wrong track and you jump off and be on the wrong, you can be on the right track and you jump off and be on the wrong track. Speaking on one of the first robberies that I did, I remember doing this robbery. It was just me and Tiger Joe, and we went into this McDonald's. We entered to the back. It was inside information. I actually used to work at this McDonald's, and so we knew what time the safe was open. We knew all of this stuff, and we went in. We were able to get the money. Had the employees. They put it into the bag, and the manager at the time, I didn't know him personally, but he resisted at first, and Tiger Joe was, you know, he caught him with a couple two piece, and then he kind of fell in line, gave the money, and I can't get the image out of my head, because we got the money, we're walking out, and I was instructed to shoot. Just shoot him. And he didn't want to cooperate, shoot him. And not only did I just freeze in the back of my mind, but it was like, I'm not for the kill this dude. We don't got this money. You know, I'm saying to myself, well, that's not. So I ran out. I was like, wow, like, man, if the, you know, even in a dark situation like that for me, if I would have pulled that trigger, man, I'm not even having this conversation today. My life would have been forever changed. I would have took somebody's life, and that would, Jesus, it was, there's no words to explain that. For me, it was like, I'm not going to say a wake up call, but it was like, it started, wait, man, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? Like, if you would have pulled that trigger, man, your life is over. I don't have any kids at this point. But that's the life that I chose. That's the life that I was living. And that's how easily my life, not just my life, but other people's life would have been forever impacted too. And it was impacted. You know, that's not an armed robbery. It's not something to smile about. It's not something to be proud of. But to make matters worse, if I would have pulled that trigger, it'd have been a game changer. It would have been lights out. It'd have been, you know, you pull a trigger on somebody at point blank range. That's the chance of survival. It's like you get incarcerated, you're done. You're done. If you don't take your own life, or you get shot in the process of being apprehended by the authorities. Leading up to my incarceration, we'll get back to some more details of some of the things that I was doing. Today I really want to try to focus and speak on the incarceration, what led up to it. And that day that we got arrested, everything that tried to warn me and keep me from doing what we were getting ready to do that day, I ignored those warning signs. Like, I wasn't married at the time because I was an 18-year-old kid. So the girls I was speaking to at the time, they both wanted to hang out with me that day, and I denied all of them. That was the first red flag. We're eating at the restaurant, at a Mexican restaurant earlier, and just this, the whole conversation that I said, man, this might be the last drink that we have, you know, nice ice cold drink we have like this in a while. And guys at the table looked at me and said, man, what are you talking about? Not knowing that A few hours later, we're going to be arrested, looking literally at a life sentence for the charges that was brought upon us. And so we just continued that day and doing things that we did, planning an armed robbery. And, like, you know, we're getting there to rob another McDonald's. And we're sitting in the car listening to music. And I guess, you know, somebody saw us back there and behind the building. We looked suspicious. They got called in. And before you know it, we were surrounded by the Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. Guns drawn and everything. It's like, okay. And they took us down. They took us down. You know, we were arrested, booked, and we was taken to the Sheriff's Department and interrogated all night. I mean, it was none. Like, it was, for me, it was a very unfamiliar territory. And it was a nightmare. It was nightmarish. It was real. It was like the real thing. It was like the TV thing. It's like you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. And then the good cop, bad cop. And it's like, you're hanging out with the wrong group. You're hanging out with this guy, Joe Farrell. This ain't his first time. He's been in and out the system, which is news to me because I didn't even know he had been arrested. So I guess he had kept that from me at the time. And he's like, this is your first time. You still got a chance. And it's like, it was surreal, being interrogated, having to face the judgment of some crimes that I committed. Again, hindsight is 2020, and even with all the extra charges they had in there, I owned up to what I did. Other charges were dropped. The ones I owned up to, I was charged with. You know, there was a lot more stuff in my mind that I know I probably could have been charged with stuff that we were doing for us, drugs and dealing, and I don't even want to get into it. I can tell you though, the turning point of my criminal days was over. I remember I said, Lord, you blessed me to get out of this mess, never again. And it was those steel gates that clink, they closed behind me, and I kind of just looked and seen like the gates closed behind me, and I'm in the handcuffs, and they booked me down at the Pinellas County Jail. It was all surreal, but I can tell you that it's easier said than done, but I can tell you that was a moment of true reality for me, like to knowing that I'm arrested and I'm in jail. And this being my first time, I can tell you some of the thoughts that were in my mind at the time, like, and this is definitely the last time because I'm not built to be incarcerated or caged like an animal or however you play it on words. The true reality sunk in that this is not the life for me to be in behind bars. And I say that because being incarcerated, you meet people from different walks of life that it's a revolving door for them. My cousin Tyco Joe, this wasn't his first time being arrested. That's all it took for me one time to get arrested, realize that this is not the life for me. I'm not gonna spend my life looking over my shoulder. I'm not spending my life in and out of jail. And just put an insert, I haven't been back since then either. So, and this, you know, I put the cart before the horse just then when I said that, because I still had to deal with those charges, which took me to prison. And we'll talk about prison and boot camp in a later episode. I just want to focus today on being arrested for the first time and realizing the seriousness of the charges that I was facing. I was facing life in prison. I was facing, you know, I had to answer, I had to atone for the not only the criminal acts that I committed, but just as a person, the mental aspect of it is like, how do you recover from that? I brought, and I'm not going to say shame onto my family, but it wasn't a pleasant, I don't know the state of my mom and my grandmothers and my sisters and brothers once they got the news that, you know, I'm incarcerated, I'm locked up. And at the moment, instead of getting ready for my senior year in high school, I was getting ready to go to the state penitentiary. And when I think about it, I'm lost for words. I just have to just thank God for giving me another opportunity that I made good on, being able to build what I've been able to build. And all that was in jeopardy over unexplainable, you know, unexplainable acts. There's no rhyme or reason to follow the crowd and make decisions that I made 25 years ago, over 25 years ago, probably 27 years ago, 27 and a half years ago, because I've been out for over 25 years. So even Fox 13, Lloyd Sowers did a piece on me, because they covered me the first couple of years. I think the first or second year of me being out, because I wind up going to this boot camp for the state of Florida and graduating. And then when I came back like a year later as a guest speaker, because I hit the ground running when I came out and just wanted to catch up on life and make good decisions from there. Facing consequences is one of those things when they say if you man enough to do the crime, you got to be man enough to do the time. And it was tough. My feet was in hot water. I've never felt so ashamed and embarrassed in all my life. I felt so low, I had to reach up just to touch the bottom. Just the, I'm very, very hard on myself when it comes to all situations, and I try to hold myself accountable and to a higher standard. So sometimes I feel like I can never do enough good to overcome those decisions I made early in life, but I do what I can, and I continue to move forward. Again, and I don't know who I'm speaking to right now and who may hear this, but it's easy to follow a crowd or try to fit in instead of just being yourself. Because being yourself is going to take you farther. It's going to keep you free, and it's going to afford you and allow you to live a blessed and prosperous life. I got lucky, and I'm very blessed and grateful for it, because that situation that I allowed myself to be in could have ended very, very differently. I could have ended up with a life sentence in prison. I could have ended up dead at an earlier age. I could have ended up killing somebody, not only with a bullet, but with some of the drugs that I was selling back in the day when I was dealing drugs and stuff. That kind of stuff don't sit well with me, because I wasn't raised around it. I wasn't raised, even though between my mom and grandmother I was raised, and I didn't have that father figure. My grandfather passed away when I was 10. That sort of thing didn't sit well with me then, and it doesn't sit well with me now. I remember my mom always telling me, us as kids, not just me, it was five of us. I had a brother and three sisters I grew up with. And at the time, my mom, she actually worked for the correctional facility in state prison. So she used to always tell us, don't get locked up, don't do this, keep your nose clean, don't get yourself into any trouble. She said, you go down there, I'm not coming to visit you. I'm not coming down there. I'm not coming to see none of my kids in jail. And I remember her saying that. And she held to that promise when I was incarcerated. She said, well, when I was in the county jail. County jail and prison is two different places. So I just want to say that. So she didn't. She wrote. My grandmother wrote. And I was very apologetic. But my godfather, Mr. Stan Tangalak, because he came to visit me at least twice a month. And I still remember those words like it was yesterday. You're not a criminal. This is not who you are. You committed a criminal act. And given the opportunity, this will pass. This will pass, and this situation is going to be behind you, and you'll be able to move forward with your life. And I am so grateful for Mr. T, because he definitely, Stan Tangalak, because that's his nickname, Mr. T. Everybody, friends, workers, employees, they all call him Mr. T. And rightfully so. He was very encouraging. He would come and visit and just encourage me, because again, I was lower than a snake's belly, man. Because I don't think I was suicidal, but I just didn't feel worthy anymore. It was like, man, to do what was done, it's not me. It wasn't who I was, but it still was done. It doesn't change the fact that I was involved. And so through letters from my mom, my grandmother, and sisters, it was definitely a whole new world, a whole new life. Being locked up, period, is not. It's the fact that jails exist to keep criminals off the street. I can truly say this from being locked up, going from county jail to state prison. That's not a life for a human, period. That's not how life is supposed to be lived. And so for me, I can't speak for everybody. This, to get locked up and get locked up again, I mean, you're either in love with that type of life, or you love what they have to offer. For me, I enjoy using the restroom, whether it's at home or here at my office, or if I'm out and about, I pick and choose the restroom I want to use. I normally would go to a Publix or a Walgreens because they're more cleaner. Yeah, that fact alone, being incarcerated, there's no privacy. You have to use the restroom, whether it's number one, number two, in front of your whole dorm. There's no privacy. And so that's another thing that doesn't sit well with me, using the restroom in front of everyone. Everyone using the restroom in front of you. There's no air freshness. There's no potpourri. There's no incense. There's no candles. You just have to take it. That's the life you choose for yourself. And so, but between Mr. Tankalakis and my grandmother, I think they wrote me the most. In fact, I think I still have every letter that was written to me when I was incarcerated. And they wrote me the most to encourage me. And I think because of, especially the prayers of my grandmother, that was a praying lady, you hear me? She's a praying lady. And she always encouraged me. She said, you're gonna do fine. You're gonna get out and you're gonna be able to create a great life for yourself. And I did just that. Dealing with being incarcerated is a turning point. It's a part of the 7,000 vote story. It's a part of the L.J. Tucker story. And it's a life journey for me because it's a point that I dealt with and I graduated from it. In fact, I'm touching on a little bit of this graduation right now. When I say graduation, because it's a chapter from my book. And it's when you deal with something in life, either you're going to learn from it or you're going to keep making those mistakes and not learn from it. But at some certain point, you have to graduate. And I've graduated from that. That's why it's been 25 years since 27 and a half, 25 since I've been out and never looked back to go again because I graduated. I came home. We had a nice little celebration. We had dinner. I had dinner with my family. And that signified a graduation date. And I still have those graduations on small milestones, whether they're big, small. I don't make a big deal out of everything, but when I learn a lesson from something, I graduate from it. Like in the tree business, I used to subcontract stump grinding out. And this one particular day, I was doing this church a favor, and I really didn't charge them that much. And it was getting to the point in the job, there's like maybe $300 left over, and I still needed a stump ground. And so I called my stump grinder guy and at the time, and he said, "Oh man," he said, "I can't do it less than 400. I said, "Well, this is all I got left." I said, "I can't, you know, I'm just trying to break even. You can't do it for three." And so I'll do a backstory. This guy was probably making $1,500 a week from me doing all my stumps. And I asked him to slide a little bit for me and do it, at, you know, and he told me no. And that was the day that I graduated from subcontracting my stumps out. Had a little small celebration. I ate dinner that night. I went to the rental company the next day, rented a stump grinder for half the cost, for about $150 for half the day. I ground my first stump. And so for me, that was a graduation. And that's probably been 16, 17 years ago that I didn't have to sub out stumps anymore. That was a milestone. So I call it graduation. And sometimes you should do the same thing. You got to celebrate the little things in life and just, it's a milestone. You like, here's an example. For whatever reason, if I get dumb enough to hang out with the wrong person and something trigger, "Hey man, let's go hang out and do something else." And I, you know, my response is, "Nah, I graduated from that," and I keep it moving. And sometimes you have to physically say to a person, "I've graduated from that. We don't do that anymore." And so that's what keeps you humble. It keeps you grateful. Just remember that, hey, I already graduated from this situation. We don't do that no more. We don't cut those type of corners. Hey, man, give this guy a shot for your insurance, and you know that it's cut rate insurance or something that's not going to benefit you. Nah, I graduated from that. We don't cut them kind of corners. We don't do that. If, you know, hey, man, I got this mechanic. He work under the shade tree. He can work on your trucks, man, for half the cost. You look at him and smile, and nah, I graduated from that, bro. My cars go to the dealership or a certified mechanic. I don't have time to play those games because I'm a professional and I need my stuff done in a timely manner. I need them with a warranty on it. It's or you get that sales call. Hey, we got to run in the special on the AC treatment of your house. You're like, nah, I'm good. We have a guy. We graduated from answering these type of calls. Please put me on your do not call list. Because if you don't, you have to deal with this big old deal that somebody's trying to scam you. You bring them out to your house, they uninvited. And so at some point you have to graduate in life from making the same mistake over and over again. So in life, when you find yourself at a crossroads, whether to go left or go right, whether it's a bad relationship or a bad friendship or a job that you're tired of, or whatever the situation may do, you may have to start saying, I graduated from that. You're dealing with a bad relationship and you keep going back. At some point, you have to graduate from dealing with that old, tired, same type of relationship. Or if it's a certain bad habit you may have where you don't feel like you're as productive as you should be, at set point, once you realize that, it's time for graduation, my friend. You may have to make announcement, not to the world, not to your family and friends, but to yourself. Say, you know what? Today is the day I graduated from that. And go out, go to Applebee's, go to McDonald's, wherever you find your comfort, or just go have a nice ice cream cone and say, I graduated from that. And through that, it signify a chapter in your life that you've closed and you're moving on to the next chapter. This is how I put stuff behind me. This is how I personally move forward. I simply say I graduated from that. Like people invite me to certain events. I'm like, I graduated from that. So what you mean? So we don't go to those kind of events anymore. Oh man, we just gonna say, hey, you guys have fun and keep it moving. You don't have to argue with them about it. You just simply say, hey, I graduated from that. And you move forward. And it gets no simpler than that, but just those simple words. I graduated from that. Remember, life is not about finding yourself. It's creating yourself. How can you create yourself? You have to graduate from the old you, the old stuff that you used to do. At some point, you got to take the training wheels off and you graduate. Like, we graduate with our kids. I have five of them for every little thing. Every little thing they do, we have a little moment. Oh, we're so proud of you. You did it. Sometimes you got to tap yourself on the shoulder and say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of me for making the decisions and graduating from a bad situation and moving on to the next chapter in life. Again, thank you for watching. I appreciate your time. And hopefully I was able to have an impact on you directly or indirectly. Thank you for watching or listening. Remember to like, subscribe. You can visit ljtucker.com for more information about booking me as a speaker or information about my upcoming book that's coming soon. Create a great day for yourself. Create a good week for yourself. And remember, life is not about finding yourself. It's creating yourself. Have a great day.